Mr. Brady, it must be good to be home for Thanksgiving week, especially after spending last week up on the Hill for nothing really happened in terms of a vote.
No, it really didn't. It was pretty unproductive, lame duck sesh. In fact, we didn't even take a vote. There were a lot of hearings, though, on auto bailout.
A lot of people are angry about the idea of writing these men who flew up on their individual private jets a big government check.
Well, there is. And we need a strong American automobile manufacturing sector. There's no question. The question is, will the bailout create that? And will it solve the problem? And many people, me included, question whether it will. It seems to me that in some ways, this is more of a union bailout than an auto bailout. And unless we really get those wages down to make them competitive, the auto industry is not going to be able to create the clean, efficient, high-quality cars of the future that allow them to compete. That's what we want them to do. So I actually think it was good to send them back home and say, bring us a workout plan. That's what a bank would do. If a small business came to them and said, we got cash flow problems, they'd say, show us how you're going to solve the problem before they even consider lending them a dime. So I think at the very least, you know, sending them back home, starting over is a good move.
It seems kind of silly that they would come up without some kind of a plan on how this would work in the first place.
No one wants to see companies go into bankruptcy, but sometimes that's the only way a company can really reorganize and restructure for the future. So I know the auto guys don't like it, but that may be the option that gives them a brighter future.
One of the other issues that continues to get people riled up is the immigration situation. And in the Houston area, they're more riled up than they've been in a while after learning that so many of them have turned the jail into a revolving door.
Well, it is disturbing to see the number of illegals who have felony, violent criminal records where our federal government is not detaining them and then deporting them. They're going right back out on the streets, and they're committing serious, tragic crimes. I'm organizing a meeting for the first week of December with the Houston area congressional delegation and ICE to determine what resources are needed, what changes need to be made, so that when a criminal is arrested and either admits they're here illegally or we discover they are, that we move quickly to hold them first and then deport them secondly. I think that's the only acceptable approach that the American public and Texans believe in.
And another problem that we're seeing also relates to some really serious criminals locked up with something many of us take for granted, a cell phone. But that could be a pretty dangerous tool in the hands of someone who is out to get revenge.
Well, we're learning that cell phones are prevalent in our prisons and even on death row, where they're being used to threaten lawmakers, juries, judges, and victims. And so I think the FCC needs to have a common sense exception. We're closely monitoring a test in South Carolina in the federal prison system there that will jam these cell phones. Now, Washington isn't very excited about this because it goes against the regulations, but I think given a choice between outdated regulations and keeping families and judges and others, society safe from violent criminals who should not have these phones behind bars, that's an easy choice.
They've got so much technology out there that will do this. In fact, they're warning police officers in Canada about these small handheld devices that if they're on a long road, they pull somebody over to make sure that they call in beforehand because they're jamming police transmissions. So we know the technology's out there.
I think technology is the solution. The reason the Federal Communications Commission and the cell phone industry has fought this in the past is that you couldn't jam just a prison. It would jam cell phones all throughout the region. This South Carolina test, I think, will help show us if we can really focus it on that prison, on that jail, and jam those phones. I'm really hopeful it works. But nonetheless, we're going to try to find a solution somewhere in between cell phone users' right to have their signal work and victims of violent crime who have a right that these criminals ought not have the phones, and I'm convinced we can do it.
Well, the holiday season does officially start this week, so hopefully people will be getting happy calls from relatives because of Thanksgiving. That tends to be a time where people start their seasonal celebrations and the start of the Christmas shopping season for parents like us who have to get out there and get those lists filled. What are you thankful for, Mr. Brady, as you sit down this week and remember Thanksgiving?
Well, there is still an awful lot to be thankful for in America, the safety of our nation. Like other families have brothers and loved ones in the military, I'm grateful because they won't be home with their families this Thanksgiving. They're keeping us safe. I'm thankful for our Democratic Republic that showed the rest of the world how you do elect safely and securely without riots in the street. We show how the process should work. I'm grateful for the people in my district who are working through Hurricane Ike in the worst of situations, some of whom are not yet even in temporary housing. Here it is Thanksgiving, but they're doing it with grace and perseverance. They don't need much help, but they need some help. And I'm grateful for our local leaders who just work so hard to work with us to get these homes in place, to get people back in schools, to get the debris removed and the communities back to recovery. It's a hard, hard slog, but I'm just always so impressed with our local leaders. Then, you know, I'm grateful for my family, to my wife and my sons, because Thanksgiving just brings that home to you.